Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the Gathering edition of Signs of Life Radio. This is our monthly edition where we pick a discussion topic, and tonight's topic is going to be predictions, prophecy, precognition. What does it all mean, and should we pay attention to it? The number here, if you'd like to join in the conversation, is 1-888-627-6008. We are talking about predictions. Maybe you want to make one. We'll be on record, so you could be a hero. And our panel, Tom and Melissa Gould, and I'm Bob Ginsburg, and I'm here with Fran Ginsburg, and together we will shoot the breeze. But before we get started, the long-awaited announcements by Fran are next in the lineup.
Well, I'd like to invite my co-hosts here to join in the discussion of our Visa credit cards and our iGives and our Amazons, because I know you participate in it a lot.
This Amazon. Yeah.
That's why we got such a big check from Amazon. I'm thanking you, and I'm thanking all of our listeners for responding to our requests for going on the website and going to visit Amazon through the link on our site. Even if you don't buy it that day and you put it in your shopping cart, in the next 30 days, if you buy it, we still get the sales credit for it, and we've gotten the biggest check yet from our listener participation. So I'm just going to throw it out there. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the great work.
It's right on the homepage of the FFF website, and so you just go there, you see it, you hit search for what you're looking for, it takes you right to Amazon, and then you're shopping like you always would. We're getting the benefit for it.
Yeah.
In fact, I ordered the Martin Scorsese DVD about George Harrison, which comes out this week. So it's there, available on Amazon for you Beatle fans out there.
Cool. I might order one, too. And if I don't find it on Amazon, I'll be sure to sign up for iGive.com and find it there. And I will use my Visa credit card that I got from the Forever Family Foundation
website.
That's like the one you have, except I think I got the one with the butterfly on it.
I got the cloud.
The cloud.
Okay. You use your premonitions to figure out what to buy, too.
I'll buy a book on premonition.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, and if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Our June 22nd event, Dessert and Discarnates with certified medium Lynn LeClaire, is filled. So we want to thank Lynn for that. And we want to thank everybody who signed up for that. We are planning the next Dessert and Discarnates on August 10th, so watch for the announcements. Our November conference is set for Phoenix. It is filling up. And if you are planning on going there, perhaps you should start making your plans a little earlier than you normally do for our November conference. We're going to be in Phoenix, Arizona at the Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel. It's got a free shuttle to and from the airport, plus two sites around Phoenix, so you really don't need to rent a car. And this particular conference is going to be the first of its kind, as it's going to be an intensive, interactive type of a weekend, where we're going to answer the question of, is the spirit world real? And we have our PhDs, our MDs, our researchers, our mediums, everybody is poised to answer the five most asked questions, and then to gently debate them amongst ourselves and to zero in on the final answer from the expert on the topic. And we're going to be blessed by having at our Friday night fundraiser, Teresa Caputo. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we have Dr. Evan Alexander, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Julie Beischel, Dr. Stafford Betty, and Dr. Claude Swanson. And the two medians blessing us for those today's are Deborah Morton and Dave Campbell. So get onto the website now, make your reservations for the conference, and don't forget, if you need the hotel room, make your reservations for the hotel room. We do have a block, but we do understand it's a very special weekend in Phoenix. It's a NASCAR weekend, so the hotels are going to be filling up, and if you want to make sure you have your room, you should do it now. And in order to get the group discount, which is a fabulous discount, it's $99 for double occupancy. Just give them the Forever Family Foundation code, which is FFF for the group, or if you're typing it in, if you're calling the hotel, just tell them you're with the Forever Family Foundation group. And those are my announcements.
Yeah, and if you haven't been to Arizona, it is an extremely spiritual place. We were there, went out into the desert. It was just amazing.
Well, all looking forward to it. We have a few moments before we need to break. You know, we threw some words out there before. We said predictions, prophecy, precognition, premonition.
The P's.
You know, it's pretty much all the same thing as far as I could see. You know, we're all talking about getting information about the future through non-ordinary means. But the only difference in that group might be prophecy, because prophecy, from what I gather, is usually tied into some divine information. You know, don't you think? It's like when you hear prophecy, it's from some divinity, some God.
If we talk
God.
About prophet, then the prophet is...
Yeah.
Yeah, and precognition and that sort of thing, it's more like, well, I haven't heard from my brother in a while, and the phone rings, and there he is, you know. So that's precognition, whereas prophecies like Nostradamus, who talks about what's going to happen 200 years from now.
Right. And when we talk about predictions, I mean, people make predictions every day based upon ordinary means, like scientists, you know, they testable theories, gathering data, you know, and based upon their experiments, they make predictions about the future. But that's not what we're talking about. Although scientists may tell you that they use prediction type activity, that's not what we're talking about. I know that. In Claude Swanson's book, he talks about some of the ancient prophecies with the Hopi and certainly the Mayans. Right?
Yeah.
Are there any specific Mayan prophecies that come to mind other than the obvious with the...
Of course, the 2012.
Yeah.
And that, I would say, falls somewhere in between your scientific and that, because they didn't pull those out of the air necessarily. They did it through a series of mathematics and basically charting trends.
Right. It seems like a lot of the Native Americans had prophecies, and some were, most of them though are passed down orally, right? So it's hard, and I would imagine they change as the years go by. So although some cultures have passed them down in tablets. You know, I was reading from Claude Swanson's book. He said the prophecies of the Hopi are said to come from the Masao. I don't know how to pronounce it. I guess Masao, their spiritual teacher for the age. So there again, the spiritual teacher is the divinity. Ancient Hopi prophecies were handed down on stone tablets, accompanied by an oral tradition of interpretation that was passed on by the elders of the community. And then he goes on, certain of the prophecies concern events near the end of the current age in the Hopi framework of history. It sounds like the Mayans and
very
the Hopi
similar,
were pretty similar.
And as a side, I believe the Hopi were indigenous to Arizona, the very
were they? Yeah.
Area of the conference.
He goes on to say some of the prophecies seem to have been fulfilled, including the coming of automobiles and telephones. He called automobiles horseless chariots. I guess that's what you would call it.
Yeah.
That would roll along black snakes across the land, and cobwebs through which people would speak over great distances.
Wow.
You know, so that's pretty interesting. So, I don't know. You know, prophecies are something that I guess we read about things that come true, but who can really verify whether or not, you know, they really came from the original, you know, tribe, ancient, you know, in ancient history. But other things science can verify. We know, and we'll get into a little bit later on, about scientists have verified that we can get information about the future. There are experiments on presentience, and premonitions, and they can show experiments where they show people photographs, and some are disturbing and some are very pleasing, and before the photograph is actually shown to the sitter, to the person, the person reacts, you know. How is that possible by ordinary? I mean, how do you react to a gruesome picture? And react meaning that they're measuring their heart rate or their temperature or their the various factors that would indicate, I guess, similar to a lie detector. So, but what we'll do is we're going to go to our break, and then we'll get back into this and maybe make a few predictions of our own. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about the P's, predictions, prophecies, precognition, premonitions, presentience, you name it. And we want to know what exactly goes on and should we pay attention to it. And I guess that's the most important thing. We all get information. But is there anything that we can do about it? Do you think that, are we picking up possibilities when we get information, let's say, in a dream? Can we change it? Should we be acting upon it? I mean, do you act upon it in your life when you get some information?
Well, nowadays I probably would a lot more than I used to. I mean, I've had a couple of precognitive dreams. I've spoken about one in particular that I won't talk about tonight, but there's another one that I haven't spoken about yet. I was living in Nashville for a while, and I came home for the holidays, and I was about to fly back to Nashville, and I had this dream that I was in an airplane, and it was taking off, and it was trying to take off, and it was, you know, trying to get up, but it was just above the highway, and then it finally hit a bridge and went down into the river, and I, of course, figured, oh, great, you know, I have a premonition about my airplane that won't make it back to Nashville. And I didn't do anything about it. I got on the plane to Nashville, and I got there, and I was fine. And then I figured, well, I guess it was just one of those anxiety dreams. But then 2 days later, the big news, an airplane coming out of Washington, D.C. did just that. It tried to get up and hit a bridge and went into the river. And that was the one. There was some guy who was jumped into the river to try to help people. And then at the State of the Union address, I can't remember who was the president at the time, but they had him sitting in a thing. And so it just struck me like, wow, that was very similar to what I just dreamt about.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mention that because, well, of course, we heard of all sorts of accounts, like from 9/11. There were so many people who had precognitive stuff there. But you mentioned your dream, and it happened, the very thing happened 2 days later. Last night, I had a lot of vivid dreams. And in one of the dreams, I was driving one of my cars, and I was on a main road, and a car blew a stop sign. It was a white SUV. And struck my car. And, you know, that was really, you know, it was a lucid dream, and I was looking, because it was a main road, I was looking for a place to pull over so I could get the other guy to pull over so we could exchange information. And even a police officer, who didn't actually witness it, but he saw me pulling over and he saw the damage to the car, he came over, and you know, one thing led to another, and the guy took off. And even in the dream, I was trying to call him. I got the number from the police officer, and I was telling him if he didn't come, if he came down right away, he wouldn't be charged with leaving the scene of an accident. Of course, I made that up. But I'm making it up in the dream.
Yeah.
So I woke up, and it's clear in my mind. So this morning, I was extra special careful, you know, because, and I was, first of all, I took a different car than was in, it wasn't the dream. In the dream, I was driving Fran's car. I don't know if it was from that reason, but I contemplated it as I made the decision. So I took my car. It's a different car. And as I'm driving in, every time I was on the main road, I was being extra careful, and I was looking for a white SUV. And the day was uneventful, you know. So, but then now Tom tells that story, so I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a second, just because it didn't happen today, you know, it could happen tomorrow or the next day, right? So, you know, we get caught up in this time stream, you know, and who knows, may not be real time or immediate time, but we see it, right?
And I was cut off by a white SUV today.
Were you really?
My car.
Your car? Uh-oh. There we go.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it was the car, not necessarily
the
yeah. driver.
Yeah.
In my dream, I was in the airplane that went down, even though I never was
right.
in that airplane.
Right.
Was it on the right side, by the way? Would it have been on the right side, or...?
Now I didn't, you know, people cut you off all the time,
right.
So I didn't memorize the whole thing, but I'll give it some thought. And I'll,
well, you know what, now we're talking, as I was driving to the bank today, I'm driving through a major intersection, and a large van, I didn't even catch the color, cut right in front of me, you know, and I'm moving at 30, 40 miles an hour right through the green light,
yeah.
And he cut right in front of me, and I had to slam on the brakes, and it was a really close call. Maybe I mistook the, come to think of it, I think it might have been white, you know, so, but at that point, so So who knows? Maybe we really do, you know, see the future. You remember back in when was it Reagan? Who was it when Gene Dixon? Remember Gene Dixon?
Oh, no,
you know, whatever. Nancy Reagan. You know, that's when it came. Reagan called upon
her. Right.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
And that became the rage. And you know, of course, some people started to take these things seriously, and some people just said, "Oh, Nancy Reagan's off a rocker," you know. But there were some things. Of course, Tom mentioned the sleeping prophet Edgar Cayce, who he would go into an altered state of consciousness, a meditative state, and come back with incredible information about the future. He wrote books about the nature of time and space and reincarnation and spirituality. So Mark Twain, I read about, he's not known for his psychic predictions. He made a few startling predictions. He predicted his own death. He was born in 1835 when Halley's Comet was visible, and he predicted that he would die exactly when Halley's Comet was visible again. And sure enough, that happened in 1910 when the comet was visible. So, people throughout history have had that. But, I'm wondering, I guess the question is, people often say, well, you never know what the next day will bring. But is that really true? Some people do seem to know what they're
doing. And we can't go through this program without mentioning that some of these prophecies are self-fulfilled, because we have talked many times about the readings that we've done that suggest that you create your own reality, and in saying that you should keep positive thoughts in your head and that sort of thing, and you will have a positive future. And so if you get to something like this that bodes an accident or something, and you start to fret about it, the fretting about it is what might make it come true. And you also mentioned earlier, do you do anything about it, or can you do anything about it? And I think in your case, sure, you start looking. You're looking for these cars coming. Maybe had it been another day, you wouldn't have been so alert to the guy who cut you off, and that could have turned into an accident. I know when my kids were learning to drive and that sort of thing, and I was saying, that guy, he was supposed to stop. Well, I tell them no accident ever occurs by somebody doing what they're supposed to do. So
right.
You've got to watch out for those. I mean, the famous last lines of James Dean when he was driving his Porsche. His last line to the guy he was driving with was, well, that guy's got to see me. And, of course, he didn't.
Right. So, I mean, if we believe that we can change things, which I believe, and it sounds like we all believe that to some extent, then so when we're seeing a future occurrence, what we're really seeing is one possibility of maybe multiple possibilities so that we can. So whenever there are people that think that, everything is predetermined and everything is fated so that we can change a future event, I think we can.
Maybe you're only changing it in one dimension.
Right.
In the dimension in which you're in, that you're concentrating on removing the fear and changing it. But then let's talk about psychics, and you go to psychics.
Right.
And so many people go to psychics because they want to know what the future holds.
Yeah.
And then they get the future, and then so it's either one of two things. Either it's self-fulfilling prophecy, because now you were told what it is, so you live it out.
Yeah.
And you say, wow, that was a great psychic. Or you're warned about something, so you remove the fear and you live positively, and you are able to change what the psychic has seen, supposedly.
I certainly subscribe to that. I would hate to think that there's nothing you can do.
So you might get a piece of precognitive information from spirit, let's say from a discarnate entity that's sending you a message, or it's possible that you can get psychic information from this so-called collective unconscious, right? It's a pool of information. you know, we see that people thinking the same way or acting the same way can affect things. Like we talked about, you know, the Global Consciousness Project and how people can change the outcome of certain events that we would think couldn't be changed, or affecting matter, or reacting before an event occurs. So I guess my point is, it's not always spirit, and sometimes it is, and it's not always picking information out from this data bank. It's either or a combination of both.
What is it when, and it's probably happened to all of us, where you are not getting out the door at the time that you thought you wanted to, and you come upon an accident and you think, wow, had I really left on time or been on schedule, that would have been me. Does that happen? Because that happens to me quite a lot when I'm running late and I'm thinking, wow, if I had been on time, I would have been the one in that accident.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be spirit influence?
It could be.
For seeing
why wouldn't spirit influence the events that delayed you?
Did you say
some delays into your way. And
because they see that this is going to happen. So
and they're your guides, and they want to guide you around it.
Yeah. We see that a lot in readings, that I've recently saw a reading where the medium told the guy, were you, you know, have a close call recently, and, you know, it was, I guess it was somebody who was supposed to be in the towers at 9/11, and they missed their train, or they went back to home to get something, or something like that, and then they said, well, that was your mom who was guiding you in that way, and now you're here to talk about it. There's a lot of 9/11 stories that way.
Yeah, there are.
Well, also, there are quite a number of near-death experience accounts where people come back with information about the future. You know, some people even have gone on to make inventions, you know, or to invent things, you know, based upon information that they got while they were. So I guess you can interpret that as they were given this information, or maybe in this other world that they visited, this information is readily available, that we have access to future events and past events. Or, as Fran said, you know, maybe you have access to parallel universes or other dimensions. Or maybe something happens that just makes you more intuitive when you come back. You know, I really don't know what it is, but I've read quite a number of accounts where in near-death experiences, where people predict earth changes and you know, tsunamis and volcanic eruptions, and you know, where do they get that information from?
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a near-death experience. You know, when you jump to mind, it was Einstein. He had a dream, and he was given the theory of relativity in his dream, and that's where that came from.
Right. I saw an article that was written by Larry Dossey, and I thought it was good. It addressed the question that we were asking, whether or not you should pay attention to premonitions. And some of the points he had were interesting. He said, you should always pay attention to a premonition when it's accompanied by physical symptoms. Like you're getting information and you feel it. You could feel a burning sensation, or you could feel a pain and a certain that's associated with the information.
A gut feeling,
you know, and that's a signal that we should pay attention. I mean, we've all had gut feelings or feelings of uneasiness, right, haven't we?
And
it may be for no apparent reason that we're aware of, you know, so that could be an example.
I try to trust my gut a lot, but then when there's a situation going on, like if I was worried about one of my children, well, how does my stomach feel? Am I sensing that there is something wrong? And I can't say that anything bad has happened, and I feel like my stomach has agreed with that nothing traumatic. But you had that experience, Sam, where you knew something bad was going to happen. Was that in your gut or just a knowing?
Well, definitely was in the gut. I'm trying to reflect back to see if there was a knowing with it, or it could have been, you know, that it was so overwhelming that I don't know.
Have you ever had since that
experience? Yeah, very often. I'll still
the
wake
same
up.
Strength?
Yeah, and it always comes during the wee hours of the morning when something is going to go wrong.
I wonder, do you think a pattern of your sleep? The wee hours of the morning is the factor?
It probably, definitely is a pattern of my sleep that allows my guides or who's ever sending these messages to send them at that point. Because it is pretty much the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah. I mean, Darcy also mentions when you have a premonition that involves death or indicates death, no matter how fuzzy the details are, pay attention. You know, he goes on to say... He quotes another psychologist, Jerome Bernstein, who has described many premonitions that preceded the tragedies of September 11th. We were just talking about that. And he believes a dream premonition is a literal message to take action, so we may not have a second chance. You know, he suggests that when a dream premonition is extraordinarily vivid and deals with the body, physical health, and life and death, that is a signal that we should pay attention. So... you know, I think a lot of people, you know, dismiss it as just, you know, a bad dream, but I think maybe we all should take that, you know, a little bit more seriously. Hopefully you haven't had such a dream or a precognitive thing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, I guess people did die in that plane crash that I dreamt about, but not in the dream necessarily. In the dream, it was just, you know, very strange. You're almost like, it was almost like the Flintstones, like you were trying to help the plane get up. You know, get up. Oh, no, the bridge. Oh, okay. You know, but then, you know, then you're in the water. And interestingly enough, I mean, that was, when was I in Nashville? In the early 80s. So that's, I still remember the dream that many years later.
Yeah, well, that will qualify as pretty vivid if you remember it, you know, that many years later. Another indication would be when the premonitions are intrusive and insistent, as if they're clamoring for attention. It just, I guess we might call it a nagging feeling, but if you just can't shake it, that there's probably a reason for it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, people probably have psychological reasons for certain things involving fear and other emotions, you know, but I think when you get that intuitive clamoring that you can't shake, I think that's a sign to pay attention. You know?
I feel like I have experienced that, an anxiety feeling that I don't know the cause of, but I always like to get to the root of things because I don't obviously like to feel that way. I don't think anyone does.
Oh.
And so I can't say that paired with this anxious feeling something bad happens, but I think in my mind then I start to review everything that it potentially could relate to, and I'm able to get rid of the feeling that way. I don't think that unsettled feeling stays with me then. So whether or not my trying to work it out has prevented something from happening, maybe, but I don't know that it did, but I know that I'm able to make the feeling go away.
I'm wondering if we're setting back psychiatry a couple of hundred years. Everybody listening to us go, I'm paranoid, and then my psychiatrist says there's nothing to it, but these guys say I should be doing it.
Well, good for us.
Well, there's the old expression, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean somebody isn't really watching you.
Right. And I've said that for years. And I've always been right.
In talking about dreams, I think you touched on it, Melissa, a little bit. When you have a dream about something, do you ever have the feeling that it, you know, it hasn't happened, but somehow, because you dreamt it, you're going to cause it to happen?
Well, that's a pretty bad feeling.
Well, it could be something good.
Well, that's true. Well, I've shared on the radio before, and I don't know what it meant, but two nights in a row, I had a dream that then related to something Fran was going through.
Right.
And that was just so unusual to me that
I remember that.
When you were party planning. And I thought it was related to Tom having some surgery. And I wasn't going to share it with you. But then when I suddenly realized it's for you, but I don't know what it meant. It didn't didn't solve anything, or it just meant I dreamt about what you were going through.
Well, also very often people have common dreams. You know, you'll talk to somebody and you'll say, I dreamt of this, and the person will say, really? So did I?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a resonance. There's a relationship, you know, among us, or you and Fran, and or you and a relative, and you and an acquaintance. So I guess there are these information channels that are opened up.
Or maybe back to those soul groups. And maybe the fact that we're the four of us are here, I mean, what brought us to the foundation wasn't the way most people find the foundation at all. You know, most people find you out of grief or searching for answers. And, you know, we've just, we're like kindred spirits, and we're like, oh, wow. And the fact that we lived in the same town as you.
Yeah.
Actually, I was your great-great-grandmother. I wasn't going to mention that.
Those eyes.
Well, we've got Janet on line three. Our Janet.
Oh, boy.
Well, I certainly would love to hear what she has to say about that.
Hello, our Janet Mayer. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to call and tell you guys it's a great subject you're speaking about.
Well, great. What can you add to it?
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, what our main question was whether or not we should pay attention to the premonitions and intuitive information that we get. Should we act upon them, upon the information?
I would absolutely pay attention to whenever you get something. If it feels really strong, then, yeah, I mean, you can always act on it, but mainly pay attention to it. And if it's something that you feel, you know, you could be there to help out or to stop, I would try to do something. I mean, for example, you know, I was, do you mind if I share a quick story?
Please.
I was with my husband at the time, and we were, you know, across the state line in, you know, Illinois, and I live in Missouri. And all of a sudden I had this feeling come over me. Like you said, you just know there's something going on. And I could hear, you know, in my head, you need to get home. And I kept thinking of my mom. And so I just stopped. I looked at him. I'm like, we got to get home. And we hopped in the car and we headed back over to Missouri. It was about a 20-minute drive. And we get to the subdivision, you know, of my mom's house, and there's seven police cars all over and a car that looks like my mom's car. And we go to pull in, and, you know, my husband, I'm like, we need to stop. And he's like, no, let's go home. I'm sure it's not her. Well, we get home. There was a message from my aunt that there was an accident. We get up there, and sure enough, a policeman had hit my mom. And so all the policemen in the township all came, and so there were seven police cars around it. Now, my mom was fine. She ended up having to go to the hospital. She did hit her head, but she was okay. And it was one of those things that I paid attention, and I was there for her. I was able to be there for her, but I couldn't stop it. But it also, it helped me feel that I was a part of something that I could help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. When that happened and you were, let's say, on the way there and you knew something was up, I mean, did you make a conscious interpretation whether or not that information was coming from spirit as a warning, or was it just something that you were picking up psychically, or could you tell?
I kind of feel like it was possibly psychically, because one minute I was fine, and the next minute it just came over me so fast.
Right.
It was just, it hit me really quick. But then there's other times where, like Fran was talking about, you know, if you wake up in the middle of the night or early in the morning and you have that feeling, or you have a dream, or you know something, to me, that tells you to pay attention, you know, because she's open and you're all open. And I think most people, if they make themselves aware of it, then they will be more open to it. And most mediums I know that I talk to, you know, if they have a dream and, you know, they're doing the reading the next day, they may add it in there. I mean, I do that. If I have a dream, I might say, you know, I don't know how this fits for you, but this is what I dreamt for you. So I think you can do that with your own dreams, which is what it sounds like, you know, many of you are doing. So I think that is really cool, and I think you should use every tool that you can, because we have all kinds of them that we can use.
Hmm. And I just assumed, but I shouldn't, because our listeners may not know that you are an accomplished medium and a certified medium with the foundation, and the author of Spirits.
They are present.
They are present. But I think of that a lot when I'm talking to somebody like you. You know, it must be, if it was me, I guess maybe that's just me, you know, as I would get information, I would say, okay, is this spirit sending me a message, or how am I getting this information? I'd be trying to analyze it, you know. And I know that you do that to a certain extent because you're interested in all this stuff. You know, I know that you're one of the few mediums that really has a burning desire to know how you get the information that you get. You know, so is that troubling? I mean, you know, that in not only interpreting the message, but then trying to figure out who's sending it?
Yeah, it is, but there's times where sometimes you feel like you can pull it out of the universe. I don't know how else to describe it. You can pull it out from, it's out there, and you can grab it if you want, but it doesn't always happen that way. But there are times that it's easier than other times, and then there's times where you do feel like somebody is coming to you and saying, you know, hey, listen, pay attention. You need to know this, or you need to act on this. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, yes, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. I mean, that's the way it is. But I'm always interested in it because why did this time it feel stronger? And is it because it's more emotional or more personal, or is it more universal where it's going to affect more people? Which a lot of times, for me, it happens when it's going to affect a lot of people, or it's going to affect the earth. But now somebody else may have it where it might affect their loved one or their child. You know, like Melissa said, if it affects your kids, I mean, you're in tune. And I mean, I feel that way with my son, but you just never know. I mean, for example, when this came through and, you know, the email about that, you know, you were doing this gathering tonight, I sat down and thought, is there anything out there that I need to know? And with that, I saw a scissors going across the state of Florida. And I thought, what in the world is that? And it was just, they're trying to tell me something's going to be divided in Florida. So I said, okay, well, when is that going to happen? And I thought, oh, well, okay, everybody thinks it's going to be a hurricane. And I immediately thought, no, I don't really feel that it's not necessarily a hurricane, but it's something that may come in the fall or at the end of the summer. So I wrote it down, and I thought, I don't know if it will play out or not, but it's just, that's how my messages come through. I'll see a flash or something, or I'll be watching TV, and they'll be showing, you know, something about the Olympics coming up, and I'll walk by and think, oh, there's going to be a fire there. And also now stop and think, well, where did that come from? Why did I think that? So, you mean, it's something like that, where sometimes it just pops through really quick, but can I make that stop and, you know, not happen so people aren't hurt? You know, can we all send energy and say, okay, don't let there be a fire? And, you know, it's not just the torches I'm seeing. You know, it's something like that. So then I wonder about that. Is that going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And why would I even get that? So, yeah, I'm always questioning. So,
yeah,
you know, that's just my personal thing.
I have a couple of questions. First of all, when you say Florida and division and scissors in the fall, I immediately think, well, we've got a presidential election, and there's Florida divided again. But I have a question. You know, for our listeners who don't know, Janet has for years spontaneously channeled and spoken a language of tribal languages from South America, and I'm curious. You had someone from South America who was getting them translated for you, and that person is no longer with us. I'm wondering. Have you found anybody else who can interpret what you're saying? Are you still recording your messages? You know, give us a little update of where you stand right now as far as your languages.
Okay, well, I am still searching for a translator. I do have some different people out there that are trying to help me. So,
has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I'm Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925 1-800-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. Tonight's topic is predictions, prophecy, precognition, premonitions. What do they mean, and should we pay attention? Before we went to the break, we were talking with medium Janet Mayer. Tom had asked a question of Janet for an update on getting her languages translated. So, Janet, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, have you made any progress, or maybe we should be putting the word out to the universe on the radio show to help find you a translator?
Or maybe the interference was telling us something. Should we be paying attention to the fact that we got interference?
It could be. I was just sitting here. I wasn't doing anything, and all of a sudden it just went crazy. But, no, I mean, I do have a couple people out there that are trying to help me. They're in California at this time, and, you know, they may have some different connections than I would have here. But, yeah, if anybody is interested, it's, you know, there are South American indigenous languages, tribal languages that I'm trying to get translated, you know, that Ipu has helped me with in the past. So, you know, that would be really cool. But that's not really why I called. I called, you know, to just tell you that I think this is a great topic, and I think that everybody who is listening really should try to pay attention and mark down anything, you know, write it down if you get any kind of feeling or sign or anything like that. And then if it plays out, you have validation that shows that you got it. And then you can, you know, then you're not thinking, did I think that? Did I really think that? What day did I think that? I mean, you have it written down.
How can we then turn that to our use? If we sense later on after the fact, we go, oh, yeah, I had a feeling about that. But I don't want to say it's inconsequential, but it's just, what can we do with it beforehand?
You start questioning. Melissa, you just start asking questions, what you want to know next time. When you get a feeling about something that's going to happen, the next time you go somewhere, ask in advance, when I get there, is there anything I need to know when I get there? When I get there, how will I feel? And then you're asking the questions out, and then they can come back to you. So when you get there, you can know, you know, you might have an answer already. You know what I mean?
I do. Thank you. That makes sense.
Sure.
I mean, you mentioned you didn't call in for this, but however, the topic of the show is prophecy and predictions, and a lot of what you have had translated were prophetic, weren't they?
Yes, they were. They were, which was really cool because it took 4 or 5 months after I would make a tape and send it to Ipu to find out what it was, and then when I found out what it was, I would realize, oh my gosh, look what happened. So it was very interesting. So it does show you that there's a lot more going on than just, you know, just me. There's a whole lot more.
And have you heard from Ipu through other mediums or any kind of connection?
Not yet. I do feel like he gave me a sign once, but other than that, I'm waiting for him to give me more before I say it's true validation. I always ask for two. I'm one of these people that when I get something, I ask for a second thing to prove to me that that's what it is. And I've done that for years with people. Is when if you get a prediction, or I'll always ask for a second thing to back it up, and that's just something I personally do.
And now, as a medium, I've often wondered because I've had a lot of readings, and my father comes through quite strongly, which is always great to hear from him. But sometimes I wonder about my boyhood friend or a guy I played music with or something like that, and who people like that who don't usually come through. And I'm wondering, is it because it's difficult for spirit to come and they need that bond of love, which, of course, is so strong in a family member, that you will hear from family members much more often? Not to say you'll never hear from someone who's not a family member, but is it the love connection that makes for a better reading, if you will?
Yeah, I kind of look at it as energy and love, but I also think that, you know, they're only given so much time to come through and give a message, and so if they can get something quick through to you in that hour, they want to get it to you, or that half hour or however long it is, and sometimes the friends or somebody else may be with them, and it might also come through a parent, and it might actually be a message from a friend. I always ask people, too, in a reading is, if you're going to get a reading, put it out there to the universe that you want to hear from your friend. Is there a friend you want to hear from, or is there a loved one you want to hear from, or whoever it is, send it out there and have them connect to that medium. And then, you know, maybe they'll get even more, you know, from them. It's just it's so unique, Tom. You can't just say it's just love. To me, you know, you never know. One person will have, you know, parents come through. One person will have, you know, a friend come through. You just never know. But I do think the love connection does connect it a little stronger, and maybe that bond is always there. And because mediums feel that way towards their family or their parents or their kids or their, you know, siblings, that might come through stronger for them too. You see?
Yeah. Well, Janet, we're running out of time, but thank you so much. For those interested, you can find out more about Janet's work on janetmayer.net. That's M-A-Y-E-R. I did want to thank
Janet. Thank you. You guys take care.
I did want to thank you for one additional thing you mentioned. I thought of it. When I get intuitive information, sometimes I say I pull it out of my ass. But you say I pull it out of the universe, and I think that's a much better way.
Yeah. Definitely. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, if you go to the Forever Family Foundation website and see the little Amazon thing, search for Janet Mayer. Her book will come up. You can buy it.
Great. So we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steppe, Wendy Lippo, Mark Barron, Eileen LaFall, Joanne Gerber, Lynn LeClaire, DJ, Rita Springer, David Haith, Pat Longo, Barbara Petillo, Doreen Malloy, Glenna Irwin, Elizabeth McKenna,
and Chase McGinnis.
And Chase McGinnis. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masuro Omoto back on May 9th, 2010. And thank goodness they're finally making BP pay for all of that. So, and with that, it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.